Hi, everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler, and this week's guest is Alex Greer. He's the founder and CEO of a company called Signal HQ. Now, when I first heard that term, I immediately thought artificial intelligence, but I'm here to tell you that Alex's work is just far beyond that piece of the puzzle. And so I've asked him to come on the show today to talk to us about what he's been working on, where he's come from in order to be able to present this great solution and solution set that he's coming up with, and also to set some of the misconceptions about what's happening in the future for us in sales as it relates to these new technologies. Welcome, Alex, to the podcast.
Thank you, Mary Lou. I am so excited to be on your podcast. Thanks for having me.
So you obviously are the founder and CEO of Signal HQ, but you've had some sort of path to get to this point. Tell us a little bit about your background, what got you so passionate about this topic, and the work that you've done prior to starting your company.
Sure. Well, about 10 years ago, I graduated from UPenn with a degree in mechanical engineering. And as most engineering undergraduates go, I haven't practiced engineering since. I've been in sales my whole career. It's only recently with starting up Signal HQ that I've really put those engineering skills fully back into practice. But that engineering and kind of mathematical problem-solving mindset has lended itself well to my sales career and the way I kind of view the world. Mm-hmm. I spent 6 years selling architectural lighting. My parents are both architects, and I found my way into the lighting business before deciding to switch into the tech industry. And I got my big break in tech working at Cloudera in 2015.
Okay.
And that was 2 years before we went IPO. I was there through the IPO, which was a very exciting time. And I joined the team right when we were starting our inside sales team in Austin. So I went from being an outside sales rep to just getting my foot in the door as an SDR, a sales development rep, setting meetings for the closing reps at Cloudera, and was responsible for booking meetings at the $5 billion and up commercial accounts in the North Central region, so like Chicago, Milwaukee, and Minnesota, and places like that, Detroit. So got some really great exposure to some great AEs and lots of great mentorship internally within the company. And an opportunity opened up to join our growing enablement team because we were really expanding our sales team worldwide at the time in early 2016. And by then I'd been developing quite a few techniques to help our team be a lot more efficient with our prospecting techniques so that we could generate pipeline more quickly and more effectively. And they wanted me to teach everybody, all of the new hires we were bringing on board, as well as the team abroad internationally. So over time, you know, my skills grew and was promoted several times within Cloudera to senior manager of inside sales enablement. And then in 2017, I joined Medallia as a director of inside sales strategy and enablement to help them get started with a new Austin, Texas based inside sales team before deciding to venture out on my own and start Signal HQ.
So you've definitely earned your stripes, it sounds like, especially feet to the fire, build in build mode and learning new things. Tell us what led you to this path now with Signal HQ, and tell us about what Signal HQ does.
Sure. So Signal HQ is really a manifestation of two really big things. One is my kind of engineering brain's desire for maximum efficiency. Mm-hmm. And the other part is born out of a frustration with the inability to, I don't know if inability is the right word, but our teams at the last couple of companies that I worked at, we invested, as many companies do, in a variety of different sales acceleration and sales intelligence technologies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being a practitioner and kind of diving into these pieces of software, I knew how to use them inside and out, and I knew the value that they brought and would teach it to everybody else. But when I looked at the usage statistics, I saw that only a very small percent were really actively using these technologies on a regular basis. Most of the team would use it maybe once or twice a month, and then there would be another 10% that never logged in at all. So there was a lot of money that was not really being utilized, even though we had this valuable information. So I felt like there was an opportunity in the market to really capitalize on the variety of different, what I'll call, quote unquote, buying signals. Mm-hmm. That ordinarily you'd have to set up across a number of different systems, 4, 5, 6 different websites and pieces of software, and kind of cobble together the insights in your mind and figure out which ones to prioritize. And I felt like there was a way to pull all of those together in one place, and also to more proactively deliver this information in the hands of each individual contributor and build it in a way that's part of their workflow, as opposed to requiring them to log into a more static database and pull that information out. So that's at a very high level what SignalHQ is about, is capitalizing on all of the buying signals so you can, I like to say, prospect smarter and not harder.
Well, I know for me personally, when I have a number of different channels and people talk about me and I see all these, what I call signals, pop up, there are so many of them that it's very difficult. It's like the email engine. You know, I get so many emails per day. I can't really weed through them all. Well, the same thing's happening in a lot of respects with these signals. And I don't even know how to prioritize them, where to begin with that, how that works, what I should be doing. So can you explain, you know, the intent of a system like this? Is it that you feed it your top accounts, for example? Is that one way to use it? So that anytime anything of value, however that's defined, becomes newsworthy, that you'll get that notification or somehow it tells you that this has happened so you can act on it quickly, as opposed to weeding through 150 like tweets and then trying to pull the ones that you think might be relevant.
Sure. So a point of clarification, then I'll expand on the question about accounts, is SignalHQ, as of today, is really focusing on intense data, which is data about if people at a company are actively researching solutions across third-party sites. Mm. Or even on peer review sites. It's a really, really exciting new piece of data that hasn't been operationalized very effectively in the sales landscape. Right. And that's where we're starting. And the intent over time is to pull other types of signals, such as major project initiatives, financial events, job alerts and promotions and that sort of thing, so that we can fulfill that vision of you know, having that centralized signal system. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to how exactly you start getting the information about your accounts, one of the really big drawbacks of a lot of the systems out there is this notion of having to feed it existing accounts in your CRM and then getting results back against only those accounts.
Correct.
The problem with that is when you're working with a company's internal CRM, everyone's CRM is not perfect. There's mm-hmm. various levels of really good, good, bad, or total disaster. You know, depending on, you know, what seat you sit in and how realistic or cynical you are, you know, one of those words will resonate with how you feel about your team's CRM.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is you're never really gonna, it's really tough to have every single company that fits within your ideal customer profile, or I know you like to call it ideal target profile, have it already all filled out in your CRM, perfectly organized by location and then allocated perfectly across every single rep. SignalHQ is designed to really be a very dynamic tool as opposed to a static tool, in that you can set a couple of different parameters. You could say, okay, give me information on only accounts owned by Mary Lou,
mm-hmm.
or we can also set criteria based on some firmographic settings. We could say, okay, Mary Lou is responsible for Midwest states with annual revenue above $1 billion. And you'll be able to see results come back that are across all companies, whether they're in your CRM or not. And this is so mm-hmm. important, because you'll be able to see, okay, this signal's coming from an account that's already a customer in our system. Great. And here's a couple from some prospects, but wow, this company is doing something really interesting and it's not even in our CRM at all.
Right.
I really want to make sure that our customers are gathering information on companies in their market, regardless of if it exists in their CRM or not, mm-hmm. so that they can make the most use out of their time and capitalize accordingly.
I love that. And I love that because one of the exercises I do with clients is to determine the segments, tiers of accounts, because we have some clients have lots of accounts, some not so many, but we are able to take the sweet spot accounts, put them in the bullseye. The next layer out would be nice to have accounts, but you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on them. And then there's this everybody else category. So mm-hmm. it's great for that. If you've categorized, you can also see what you think if you have those accounts. But like you said, a lot of times when we start working on the list, one example is my co-author, Jeremy. We did a profile on the ideal buyer for his product, and we came up with Betty was the name. And so Betty, we looked in their database, there were 500 Bettys that they could sell to. But then when we went to LinkedIn and just did a very, and you'll teach us more about this, but a very simple search on the role of Betty, there were 50,000 potential Bettys that we could go after, but our database, our house list only had 500. So it's like, oh, we're in trouble here. But you're saying not to worry about that, because you're looking at in aggregate, holistically, the parameters that fit that criteria, regardless of where they reside, whether they're in your house list or they're out there in the world for you to go after within your defined parameters. Love that.
Exactly. And this problem becomes especially acute for companies out there that are selling to smaller businesses or startups. You know, the firmographic lists that are out there are mainly tailored for capturing the largest companies in the world. That's where the most abundant information exists. But even the little teeny tiny companies are, you know, posting jobs or making announcements that are relevant to you and your solution. And if you haven't set up a system to tune in, so to speak, to those signals, then you'll completely miss them if you're just relying on a kind of set account list that you pulled into your CRM. So really, right. Really important.
Definitely. So as we were talking offline about marketing and how some of these advanced methods and systems technologies are being adopted, or at least looked at by marketing. And we were talking about the disconnect with sales. Why do you think sales is a little bit slower on the uptick to start using some of this technology or getting an understanding of how this can benefit them in maximizing efficiency, or like I like to say, return on effort? You know, what do you think is the disconnect there or the alignment issue there?
Yeah, you know, a great sales mentor of mine early in my career had a really great word that he used whenever there was a problem or a disconnect. He called it an opportunity. So he'd say, that's an opportunity right there. So I'm going to use that word because it spins it into a positive light. There's an opportunity to help with this alignment and again, equip salespeople with information that aligns better with their workflow and kind of meets them where they are. You know, I'd say the marketing organization, especially in demand gen, has become very technologically savvy, understands the importance of a conversion funnel and maximizing every step along the way of a potential buyer's journey when they're exposed to your marketing materials so that you gather up the most qualified leads, right?
Right.
And so there's a lot of technology that goes into that. And as a result, they've become very technologically astute. Salespeople, on the other hand, their focus has been more primarily on the written and verbal element of sales and focusing on maximizing those conversations. And that's not a bad thing. That still needs to occur. But what is happening, especially here in 2018, more than ever, is we've got a lot of venture-backed companies where the pressure for growth and pipeline acceleration is more important than ever. And the sales team really can't just sit on their laurels and wait for marketing to deliver these precious good leads. Not all of the leads are necessarily that great. So it really becomes incumbent on the salesperson, if they're going to hit their number, whether it's the number of meetings, new opportunities, or closed business, if they want to meet or exceed their quota, they've got to hunt for new business themselves. They can't just wait for marketing. And that's where the opportunity lies, to really equip salespeople with information in a way that makes sense to them, that's easy to interpret, that's part of their workflow. And frankly, you know, above and beyond that, you could create a feedback loop back to marketing and have a dialogue where the sales team shares what they've been finding successful with their prospecting techniques, and marketing shares then their insights, and you have this wheel of innovation happening internally within the company.
Yeah, that would be great. I think a lot of times too, there is this notion that they're talking to the masses, so the masses gives you a bigger data set and statistically more relevant results or information so that you can proceed. Whereas since we're, you know, not as large of a data set for us, you're not sure if you're really going down the right path by the results you get back. And I think, yes, you know, that's another thing that sort of keeps us from, well, not quite 30 yes. records versus 30,000 records. Yeah, you know, so I think that that has a lot to do with adoption, and that you know, we have a limited number of accounts to work with usually.
Exactly right. So, you know, for the sales listeners on this podcast, put yourself in marketing shoes for a minute. And, you know, you may want to have a conversation with your marketing team and learn what tools they have at their disposal, because I think you'll find it shocking the amount of information they have on an account level basis that you had no idea existed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, speaking of these large numbers, you know, from a marketing team's perspective, a lot of them, whether they're comped on it or not, they look at the number of leads they're ultimately producing. And the tools they have at their disposal now include things like they have visibility into the number of emails that are opened versus how many are delivered. So that's their open percent. Mm-hmm. That's a conversion metric they track. Also the number of clicks on links within those emails. So that's called a click-through rate, or CTR. That's true with emails. That's true with advertising. They'll look at the amount of traffic to the website, and the tools that they have at their disposal now often are broken out by company. There's technology that's able to tell, okay, this traffic is coming from a computer that's associated with this particular company. So we'll chalk up that statistic to Acme Corporation, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing that marketing teams are increasingly investing in is intent data. I mentioned this earlier. So there's data that's now being packaged up and being made available to marketing organizations that says, hey, people from this company have shown a recent spike in activity researching solutions in your space. And so what the marketing team does is they say, okay, let's take this big, huge data set that tells us amount of interest on a company by company basis on these solutions. And let's spend our marketing dollars on the companies that are showing recent interest. So they're not really looking at the account by account basis of this interest. They just say, okay, here's a big data set that says all these companies are interested. We're going to spend our marketing dollars on those companies.
Right.
Meanwhile, sales is none the wiser that the named accounts and accounts in the territory that they're responsible for, there's all of this information that's living in the marketing team's house that has very rich data on their specific accounts. And that is the really exciting opportunity that I'm excited to tap into and really make easy to put in a salesperson's hands for their set of accounts that they're responsible for, so they can make better prospecting decisions.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Love that. Yeah. I think what's really cool about that too, I'm working on a speech right now for a follow-up. And a lot of the pushback I get from sales reps as to why they don't follow up is that I have nothing of value to say. I feel like I'm bugging them. And with this type of data, they're conversation starters, you know, for whatever you're seeing there, their reason why, I call it reason why conversation that's coming through, right, that would allow you to pick up the phone if you're a phone person, or send an email, or do a direct mail, whatever it is, whatever method you're going to be using. And I would mix and match those methods, but this gives you that conversation opener that you've all been wanting.
Yes. And I get this question a lot from customers of, okay, I have this intent data. Let's say I'm selling data science solutions and a company is showing strong signals around big data, machine learning, and IoT, Internet of Things, mm-hmm. right? Connected devices. They say, you know, I've got this information. Like, what do I say to the person? And it can be a very, you know, innocent statement. You just say to the person, hi, you know, Mary Lou, I've been doing my homework and I understand that there has been interest from your company in solutions around data science, machine learning, and IoT. And we offer solutions that cater specifically to that. And I believe we'd really be able to offer, you know, great solution and value for that. Would you be open to having a conversation? Something, you know, along those lines. I'm sure there's a better way to phrase it, but you don't have to pretend that or hide the fact that you know this. And you also don't have to outright say, I have access to a tool that gives me all of this information on the cookies that track you across all these websites. Like, you don't have to get into that, but if you just say, hey, I've been doing my homework and I understand there might be interest, then that's usually all that's needed, and people understand.
And you know, the other thing is we are masters of the conversation. So once we're given a little piece of information, we run with it. We're not fearful of starting conversations with people we don't know. We're open-minded to getting whatever little crack we get of information, just a little tiny bit that we can formulate into an opener. And so I don't buy that we can't do it. I just think we're stymied by the fact that we receive this information no different than if you were on a golf course or if you're in a bar talking to a colleague or whatever, and they gave you some insights into an account. You're going to use that information to further it's no different than that.
Now, here's the really key distinction, though, which is, again, what I'm so excited about offering with Signal HQ is most organizations out there, they when a salesperson is reaching out, they'll look at a couple of things. They'll make a decision to reach out to a company based on some type of firmographic fit, which usually includes an industry and or a company size. Right. So if your company's had success selling to financial services firms, you might start selling to other financial services firms. And if you have a lot of success appealing to the VP of marketing or the CMO, then you'll try to reach out to other people that fit that. But there's not much more that goes into that other than they happen to be a good fit from that standpoint, but you have no idea whether there's any type of compelling event happening within that company that makes your solution timely, whether they've announced a project or a new initiative or currently evaluating solutions. You really have, given the current paradigm of the way people work, they really have no clue. And maybe one step beyond that, you might go to what's called a technographic fit. So if you're selling a solution or a technology, you might check and see, do they have some type of legacy technology that yours is better at solving, replacing, or a competing technology? But again, if that's all you're relying on is a firmographic or a technographic fit, then you're still kind of shooting in the dark, hoping that you maybe caught somebody at the right time. Whereas it's really exciting to be able to have a very solid idea that there's some type of compelling event, a new project, a new job post, a new spike in research intensity that'll inform your decision and make sure that precious amount of time that you're spending selling to folks, you're reaching out to people that are actively looking for a solution.
Yeah, definitely. Wonderful. So we're getting to the top of the hour here, and I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you. And we talked a little bit about a potential place they can go and get a checklist of things to get started. So why don't you take it away and let us know how to reach you and what's on the horizon. What do you plan to do for our audience in order to get them started along this path of figuring out whether this is a good solution for them?
Yes. So I'd say first and foremost, I'd love any of you to reach out to me directly. LinkedIn is a really good place. LinkedIn.com/in/AlexanderPGreer, G-R-E-E-R. And we'll include that link in the show notes for you, Mary Lou.
Yes.
I'll also create a landing page. TBD on what the link name will be, but I think it'll probably be signal-hq.com/Mary Lou. But we'll include that in the show notes too. And that'll include some content in there for you that you can use to assess your readiness for this type of solution internally, or just some techniques you can adopt right away. So yeah, those I'd say are the two best things. And of course, we have a contact us form on our website. If you'd like to learn about our solution in particular, just go to signal-hq.com and you'll find a really nice, shiny, obvious button for you to contact us.
Okay. So yeah. We mentioned a checklist of what there's 1 to 3 things that you can get started right away and start seeing immediate results, probably more so than you ever thought, just simple things that Alex put together for you. And then there's some near and long-term options for you as well. And it's always good to have a conversation. If you're getting serious about this concept of maximizing the return on effort, getting a high level of impact with least amount of steps, then this is really the type of process that you're going to want to review and perhaps deploy in your organization. Alex, thank you so much for your time. I very much appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
Mary Lou, I had a blast. Thank you so much.